Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
From the Financial Times in London, this is Hard Currency. I'm Katie Martin and I'm joined by David Bloom of HSBC. David, thanks for coming in.
Hello.
Currency markets have been on a bit of a spin these past few days. US officials sent the dollar reeling last week with the Treasury Secretary Mnuchin talking about wanting a weaker dollar to support trade. How significant do you think this is?
Well, you don't mess with the US Treasury Secretary. I mean, if we go back to the time of Benson and dollar-yen, I mean, we saw a veritable collapse in the dollar, 20, 30%. So you take the Treasury Secretary comments very seriously.
Don't fight the Fed, you don't fight the Treasury Secretary.
Yeah, I mean, we moved to Rubin, Robert Rubin, who invented the so-called strong dollar policy, where he said a strong dollar is in the US interests. And from that day, every US Treasury Secretary have uttered those words. Mm. And this is a break away from that. And you've got to take that very seriously. And on the back of that, we think the dollar will be weaker than we thought otherwise.
So I guess it's difficult when you're talking about the Trump administration, when you're talking about the current political climate, to figure out how seriously to take these sorts of pronouncements. Because what, 2 days later, President Trump himself said, oh, you know, I've always been in favor of a strong dollar.
Yeah, but if you look at what they did with solar panels, refrigerators, what's going on with NAFTA, what's happened with TPP, this is an administration that will take action. And so that is the point we're making. So these aren't just, you know, you have the US Treasury report on manipulation. Mm-hmm. And everyone goes, oh, that was interesting. But now you're taking it very seriously. So those countries that are net exporters to the United States, and I'm talking a bilateral point of view, the US is taking a serious look at them. And I think those countries are saying, we better not intervene. We'll let our currency strengthen. And that will take pressure off us from anything else happening in a change in world trade. So the dollar can and their currencies can come to the rescue, where you don't have to take actions on some kind of sanction or some kind of tariff. That's what we don't want in the world. And there, the dollar's weakening partially because of that.
So does that mean we've got a currency war with nobody on the other side? Because typically, you know, in the past, it's been the Brazilians or, you know, whoever it is that have stood up quite early and said, you know, actually, dollar weakness is extremely unhelpful to everybody else. In this instance, do you think they'll put up with it as a quid pro quo?
I think they will when global growth's picking up. I think before what was happening, you were trying to steal growth from each other. But the world is growing and some of these countries are doing quite nicely. And why should they be intervening and having young, dynamic countries running surpluses? So you can understand the intellectual and philosophical side the US is coming from. It's just sometimes the way things are done, you get these dramatic moves. And we're saying it's grizzly, but not a bear. That's the title of our piece. And it's not a bear market because I think the US economy and the Fed is on the other side, and that should help the dollar. So we've got politics and the structure causing the dollar to weaken, but actually the cyclicality and higher rates cause the dollar to strengthen. And that's why I think the dollar's not going into a bear market.
But you've taken these comments from Mnuchin and the general backdrop on US trade policy seriously enough to change your forecast, right?
Absolutely. As I said, I mean, it's a very serious thing and there's action behind some of it, as I mentioned earlier. And so, look, we were looking at the euro at 120. We're now 125. That's not a million miles away. But we're still looking for sterling to weaken, but not as dramatically as we thought it would weaken before. And remember, we're now at 620. We were at 660. So that's quite a dramatic change in our view. And we've seen a very powerful rally in the renminbi this year. So we've made lots of changes to some of the currencies. Dollar yen, we think, will head lower as well to the 105 kind of a range, 104 even. So we've made, as I say, you know, these 3-5% changes, but not a complete capitulation.
So you mentioned dollar China. As you say, like January was for dollar China, it was a huge move, right? One of the biggest in decades. at what point does this start pinching on Chinese trade?
Well, what's interesting is you come back to January last year and everyone's thinking, well, we're going to do to stop dollar renminbi from rising. And you come a year later and everyone's saying, what can we do to stop dollar renminbi from falling? Yeah, well, it just seems everyone's always in agreement with renminbi. It's either selling off or it's... But I think it'll stabilize. And I think, the whole idea is that should take pressure off the US administration to actually do something which nobody wants to see to curtail global trade, that the currency does the work. The currency is the peacemaker at the moment. So I wouldn't say it's a currency war. It's actually the opposite, where the currency is actually causing peace, where you don't take these actions or radical moves in order to try and get your bilateral trade in a better position, which is what the United States wants now.
Now, but the Europeans... Some of them are not really seeing the funny side quite so much. We had Benoît Carré talking, I think, yesterday about how, yes, we will have to do something if this policy for a weak dollar starts impinging on our ability to reach price stability. They're just getting inflation back towards target and it's edging back down again, which could be because of the euro. Will they have a sense of humour failure about it?
Well, I think we saw the same thing, don't forget, with the Fed 2014, wanted to raise rates, the dollar rockets ahead, the Fed can't raise rates. 2015, Fed wanted to raise rates, the dollar rockets ahead, and by December they give us a quarter point. So basically it took them 3 years to raise rates. And so what we're arguing and we have argued is that FX is the new central bank. So instead of the ECB actually having to raise rates, the euro goes up and stops them raising rates and does the tightening for them. So actually the profile of the ECB having to raise rates is much further out. As you said, the problem becomes they're not raising rates, but actually the euro starts putting them into a downturn. But we're nowhere near that. I mean, the market's starting to be very upbeat about the European economy and about possibility of the ECB raising rates. But the euro will curtail the rate rises by the ECB by rising. So, you know, in a way, FX is the new central bank.
So FX is the new central bank and it's the new path to world peace. It's busy, well, right?
Well, you can see it is the thing. And don't forget, we've had times where this kind of benevolent dollar and currency have been the exact opposite, where it's actually been very harmful and currencies have fallen, causing massive problems. But we're not in that environment right now. No. And I'm sure in a couple of years' time or something, we could fall into the other one. But it's a very unusual situation that FX is actually a force for the good, I think, where often it's not. It can be quite dramatic, the moves, and they can be very harmful. But at the moment, I think FX is a much more benevolent, kinder kind of thing. I mean, I eat quiche and cry. I mean, that's the new type of currency strategist we have on the block.
Is it? I did not know this. So, speaking of crying, you're going to miss Janet Yellen. And what do you think the Fed's going to be particularly different without her?
Yes, I will miss her. And the reason I miss her is I don't like change. I'm one of these, that's how financial market people are. We don't like change. We like to be comfortable. We like to see things, being the same and things have gone reasonably well. So yes, I will miss her. Just like I thought I miss Bernanke, I miss Greenspan. yes, that's right. And I think what people don't really comprehend is how powerful the institutional arrangements are in the United States and how powerful the whole institution is, and that one person can kind of make a change, but it'll take them a long time. The institutional arrangements in the United States are extremely powerful. When you're really worried about countries, it's when the institutional arrangement is very weak and you get someone who comes in who could be very influential. And I don't think the United States is in that camp.
So you're in for two, maybe three rate hikes this year?
Yeah, something like that. Two, maybe three rate hikes this year. I think the Fed's G'd up to go relatively soon, post the last comments we saw just very recently. So, yes, but what I would say is the market looked for one rate rise last year. We got three, so massive rate rise surprise, and the dollar went down. So what I'm saying is this is at the moment a political and structural world that's driving the dollar down. It's not so much of a cyclical world. And a lot of people are talking about the breakdown between interest rates and currencies. And that's because politics and structure, current account deficits, we saw this in Europe with debt to GDP. These things can matter at times for foreign exchange markets. And we're in one of those times right now.
Just quickly, we've got a few voices out and about on the street talking about the Bank of England raising rates much more aggressively than had previously been baked in. is that sterling supportive, or again, is it all about the politics?
Yeah, so that's a very good point. I mean, so let's look at the three categories: structural, cyclical, political. So I would say structural, current account deficit, fiscal deficit, negative for sterling. Political, there's a lot of people who are thinking we're getting a transition period and everything will be fine. And therefore, if that's the case, then the Bank of England raised rates is very positive for sterling. That's not where I live. That's not where what I think. I mean, I'm much more of the school where I'm worried that the UK is one of the weakest G10 economies that there is. It's got structural problems with budget deficits and current account deficits. And I think the market's become very Panglossian about the political outcome and what's going on. So I'm much more to the downside on sterling, and I'm less bothered about the Bank of England. Just like in the US, where interest rates are not the driver, in the UK, it's, as we know, it's Brexit. And it's our twin deficits that are the problem and the weakness behind what we will see, I think, in sterling this year.
So is it the dollar doing the heavy lifting in terms of the exchange rate with sterling? Or?
Oh, absolutely. Look at euro sterling, and it hasn't moved. Yeah. So everyone's going, oh, look, sterling's going up. Isn't that brilliant? And misinterpreting it, I think what we need to do is say, look, the dollar's doing what the dollar's doing. Let's look at euro sterling. Let's look at somewhere we can take the dollar out of and just look at it. And if you look at euro sterling, it's gone sideways for 6 months. So all these commentaries that it's good for the currency, this political thing, and it's bad, it's just nonsense. It's gone sideways. And I think what we have to do is take euro sterling as our main currency pair for the moment and actually think that's a cable, you know, sterling against the dollar is the cross rate for the moment. Right. Of course, it'll always change back. But for the moment, while we're changing our institutional arrangements with our biggest trading partner, that should be the currency that we should be looking at.
Yeah, good stuff. We're going to have to leave it there. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me in.
That's it for now, but keep up to date at ft.com/markets.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of investment experience. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. New episodes are available monthly. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.